And we are live on Blog Talk Radio. At least I think we are at this particular juncture. Who knows? It has been such a crazy, chaotic week. Finally, getting here to try to get this done, try to get this show going. Who knows? We may get into some hockey later. We may get into, I'm not even sure at this point. We're gonna get into all kinds of stuff. What's some other things we might get into? Might get into some college football. Just a bunch of different stuff we may get into. Who knows? It seems like the audio is actually working. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring on our guest for the evening. I'm glad he was able to hang with us this long, and I hope I didn't keep you too long tonight. But he is John Nelson from Soccer Down Here and many, many other great things. How you doing, John?
So are we going to talk Survivor Series and the heel turn of Daniel Bryan or what?
I don't even know at this point. It has been such a chaotic day. For everybody that usually knows us, we are usually live on Thursdays at 7. Obviously, we will all be eating at that point tomorrow, more than likely.
Yes.
But
I'll be traveling at that point. I will have eaten and will be traveling back to the casa.
Ah, see, there you go. You will be doing the very thing that I spent the entire day doing, and that is driving.
Okay. All right. So here's my question, and I did it today on the Facebook Live that we had for Football Fridays in Georgia for GPB. Since Monday is Bracketology Monday, and we do Countdown to Kickoff on Wednesdays. The question I had today was, other than where are you going and what are you thankful for, the third question I had was, what side dish or what part of your Thanksgiving meal inside your walls, inside your kitchen, is different and is an atypical dish to what people think of for Thanksgiving, but it fits what your family does for Thanksgiving? Is there an atypical pie? Is there an atypical meal? Is it like Chandler Bing in Friends where he has to have spaghetti? Is there something that is atypically Thanksgiving that is part of your Thanksgiving?
Well, on my family's side, I don't know if this is atypical. It's kind of a play on another dish anyway. But my grandmother always made spaghetti and cheese, which is angel hair pasta. It's a lot of different.
Oh.
It's baked in there and everything. It's really, really good.
Oh,
but,
that's strong.
But I was also fortunate to marry into a half Polish family. Well, I guess they're not half Polish. They're probably full Polish, but out of Chicago. So pretty much any of the major holidays we have pierogies. So that's
probably pretty atypical for most people.
But
yes, there you go.
And for anybody who doesn't know what a pierogi is, think of ravioli stuffed with everything from mashed potatoes to broccoli and cheese. You can have meat in there. You can sometimes just have cheese in there.
Yeah. And, pierogi, you give me a good pierogi from a good Polish family or a good Polish restaurant, and I'm sold. In our gathering where we travel to Montgomery, Alabama, which is the center of the familial universe for us, there's one dish that the boss makes that is a family recipe that is handed down from her grandmother. And it is a rice dish, which is basically white rice and mixed with like a beef consomme kind of thing and lots of butter. Basically, you just back up the butter truck and throw it in there. And it is amazing. If I could just have that dish, I basically commandeer it in the kitchen in this house that we're in Montgomery. I commandeer this dish of Grandma Stacy's rice, and no one else can have it because it's all for me.
Wow, there is a lot of infighting at a few of the various things I go to during the holidays, where especially My mom's side of the family, we used to do that the Sunday before. So obviously this past Sunday, we all got together for that. If my grandfather makes his banana pudding, especially if it's still warm, it has been known to draw blood before trying to get over there to it.
See, there you go. That's what this is all about. It's about that dish that is not a standard quote unquote Thanksgiving dish that really gets to the heart of the family that you're a part of. And that's why I asked that question today for Countdown to Kickoff. And that's why I brought it up here, because one of our listeners actually said, my grandmother's pumpkin spice thing that doesn't have a name, but is awesome.
I'm not even a big pumpkin spice person. But at the same time, that sounds good.
Yeah, so it's just how it was phrased. It didn't have an official name. It's like my grandmother's pumpkin spice thing that doesn't have a name but is good. So that's why I brought up the question. Okay, so what do you want to talk about?
I was about to say, for those who are just joining us, yes, that is a it should be a familiar voice, but at the same time, a slightly different one than you usually hear. Of course, he is the mac and cheese. He is the mac and cheese to our Thanksgiving plethora of information. He is John Nelson from Soccer Down Here. Let's get right into the soccer, because I feel like we're going to end up spawning off into some other stuff later. I was able to catch the live soccer down here for a few minutes today. Got lucky, got into a good Wi-Fi spot where I could pick it up. So I did pick up some of it, but I am caught up to today's episode. I did catch up. I was a good bit behind there for a while, but you know, nothing like plugging along with a week's worth of soccer down here on your podcast.
There you go. No, thanks. And ahead and go for it, Jeremy. Where you want to go?
Well, I mean, I kind of mentioned this when I hit you up the other day to see if you might be available. I think people are just now getting around to realizing how big this game is, not just for the United players, not just for, you know, the people who run the building, not just for the fans or the fan base, not just for, you know, the surrounding area, but this is one of the biggest games in Atlanta sports history. As we get into the semifinals, basically, of the MLS Cup, you got the New York Red Bulls coming into Arthur Blank Stadium, as I like to call it, Mercedes-Benz, as our United will be hosting them there. I mean, this game, you can't overemphasize how important it is.
Well, and think about what Atlanta United has done on the pitch in almost two seasons. We're still in the second season technically. But you've had the best two-year run coming out of the blocks, and you've qualified for CONCACAF Champions League, and that draw is coming up December 3rd, so we'll get to find out what parts of the hemisphere Atlanta United will be playing in. And to say what parts of the hemisphere – Atlanta United will be playing in, and you know, you saw that they can turn up the aggression and get all CONCACAF-y if they need to when they were playing NYCFC. But just think of all the accomplishments. They cleared 1 million in attendance, 1 million people through the door, and you're going to end up after Sunday at about 1.1. And if you get to MLS Cup, you're looking at 1.18, you know, so you're looking really for all soccer events that have gone down. I mean, they're going to open it up full house. You're going to have another 144,000 people. So you're looking at, you know, 144 and 1.1. So, I mean, it's just an amazing amount of people that have embraced Atlanta United, and Atlanta United just has become an instant part of the fabric of the Southeast, and it's not just for the hardcore fan. It's for the casual fan. It's for the transplant. It's for the person who wants to learn about the sport and is learning about the sport. Mm-hmm. And what you've also seen is just the inclusive nature of everyone who's there. While yes, it is about tailgating and it's almost like an SEC kind of a football FOOT, you know, vibe, you have just all these different folks from all these different places coming in and all these different levels of knowledge. And it doesn't matter what your level of knowledge is. It is welcoming, it's inclusive, and everyone wants to be a part of it. And the fact that they're playing for the right to play for a championship, I mean, it just speaks volumes about all of the right notes that they've hit and all the notes that they've hit since day one.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. Is it's not just because Atlanta is such a transit city. It's not that it's such a melting pot. It's not just those things, but like you said, all levels, all the way up from maybe you've never heard of the game of soccer before, all the way up to you can even spout out birthdays and, you know, potential middle school GPAs of the players. It's no matter what the skill level, no matter what the knowledge level, if you want to check out, I mean, I don't even think it's arguable. I think they're the hottest ticket in town, and it's affordable. That's one thing people have a problem with some of the other teams in the state. With United, most of the time you can get a ticket for $50 or less to sit all the way up top when they open that up, all the way up to even sitting on the fronts, just a couple hundred dollars. It's still one of the best tickets in town. You're going to be involved. You're going to be excited for at least the 2 hours you're there. If you're able to hit up any of the Village, if you're able to hit up the Gulch, for those who want to take it up another notch, there's just so much going on around the area at that point that it's hard not to have a good time.
Yeah, and you have all the supporters groups that have become a part of the mm-hmm. fabric, and you have, you know, full disclosure, the boss is a member of one of the supporters groups, and, you know, soccer down here does a pregame tailgate at that particular supporters group. Mm-hmm. The faction have been amazing for us and given us a home for us to do our pregame tailgates every single home match. And to see 3 hours before game time, to see the Gulch start to fill out and you have mm-hmm. Terminus Legion, Footy Mob Resurgence and the faction and Siempre and La Doce and all of the groups that are there and everybody who just goes into the Gulch and buys their parking space and trots out a tent, trots out, you know, grills and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's DJs, it's about great food, and it's about the sense of community. And everyone has hopped on from the absolute beginning, and you'll go into neighborhoods. And Jeremy, I know that you see this too, is that you'll go into neighborhoods and you'll see flags hanging out of windows. And mm-hmm. more often than not, it is a five-stripe flag. While people still, you know, they'll hang Braves flags or UGA flags or things like that. You'll go down neighborhoods in East Atlanta, and you'll see half a dozen or eight Atlanta United flags hanging on front porches just on one street. And to right. see really everyone just throw all of their collective love behind what's going on here and for the players to reciprocate that. And if you haven't read the Players Tribune article that Joseph Martinez did, that's recommended. That's your daily homework.
Yeah.
Read that
right.
piece, because of the education that he got and wanting to come and play for Tata Martino and to be a part of everything that's Atlanta. And for him to basically, it was a love letter for the fans and all the supporters. And I thought that it was really cool to see the players respond in that way, and to have Joseph, your talisman, respond that way just made it that much more special.
Yeah, and there was no bigger example than my day-to-day. Obviously, I said I spent a lot of time up and down the roads today. I guess short story time with the Impact today, I would say my day started in Buchanan, Georgia, which is out towards
Harrelson
the Alabama
County.
Line.
Harrelson, Polk County, yeah.
Yep. A lot of good high school stuff going on out here as well. I know you know that. It made some brief stops in Lithia Springs. Before the rest of my day was up in the Athens, White Plains, Madison area. And it's absolutely what you said. Hey, UGA has one of the biggest games of the year because it is their rival, the rival they usually beat in Georgia Tech coming up. They need to keep up the appearances so that they can try to get into this football playoff. But yeah, like you said, if every other house had a UGA banner out up in the Athens, Madison area, every third house had a five stripes one out. And I was just, I mean, you get stopped at a red light and you just look up and down these streets, just as you said, you typically see more United stuff than you do the Bulldogs. And down here, the Bulldogs are pretty much the pro team, and that's all due respect to the Falcons.
Yeah. Considering what the Falcons have done this year, and you know, obviously winning doesn't hurt either. And the fact that Tata Martino and Carlos Bocanegra and Darren Eales have put this product out there on the pitch that's exciting, it is attractive to both the casual fan and the hardcore fan. I mean, when Jason Jarrett and I go from the Gulch into Mercedes-Benz, we take a peek and, you know, we're just listening, and you'll hear five different conversations about five different levels or five different things that are going on at an Atlanta United match. And, you know, they'll sit there and they'll talk about one thing, and it'll be just a very casual ground level conversation. And then you'll have people talking about tactics, and then you'll have people talking about, is Miguel going to go or is Miguel going to stay, and who's going to be the new coach. So it's just a bunch of different levels of appreciation and knowledge that you're seeing there too. And it rubs off, and it's very contagious.
Yeah. And since you mentioned that, before we get into talking about this game, I know I've sent you guys a message. I was not able to follow up on that. And I mean, I don't want to get into specific names or anything, but the next United coach, is it going to be, do you guys believe it's going to be more of another high profile, even if people typically haven't heard of him around here, you know, because a lot of people didn't know who Tata was until he showed up. Everybody did their research. They figured out, oh, he's a world renowned, really, really legendary coach. Is it going to be another high profile guy, or do you think they're going to go a different route?
No, I think it's going to be another high profile international name. And when Tata announced that he was not going to renew his contract, and that at the end of his contract, he was going to depart for another job, that Darren came on Stoppage Time Live with Mike Connie and Jason Longshore, and basically said that that individual, they're going to have to understand and embrace the culture that is Atlanta United. That means going out into the community. That means being, you know, there when youth groups come to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground and putting your arm around a kid at fantasy camp. It means that you're going to be accessible. It means that you're going to wear the suit coming off the bus for the home match, and you're going to go through the processional, and you're going to, you know, be there for the fans, and you're not going to be standoffish, and you're going to embrace the culture that is here. And there are a couple of names that are out there, and two of them are attached to the nuclear Copa Libertadores final that's going on between Boca Junior and River Plate. And if you can find a place to watch it and do a little reading on it, the Copa Libertadores, with these two absolute rival of rivals going at it for a South American championship, leg two is going to be on Saturday, and it's going to be a tremendous watch. And a lot of folks are sitting there saying, okay, one of these two coaches is going to be the new guy. And I mean, that's a good reference point, but it is going to be a coach of international knowledge that a lot of folks here in the Southeast might have to do some homework on, but he will be internationally known.
And do you happen to know when that game is on Saturday?
It's, I think it's like 3 or 4 o'clock. And if you've got Fox Sports Go, then it would be on, I think, Fox Deportes, or if you have any one of those other ways of looking at something. I know Fanatis has a way to look at things. So it's, my guess is Fanatis or Fox Deportes. And I have the Spanish, I have the Hispanic package on my Super Hyper Mega Cable Sports package. So I will be watching that, and that would be the way to do it for me, is I'll watch Fox Deportes. But there are also, you know, there's always ways to find it. But, yeah, the Copa Libertadores final, leg two, between Boca Junior and River Plate, mandatory viewing, because think of, and I tried to come up with an analogy on the show, and I tried to kind of compare it to Iron Bowl with Alabama and Auburn. So if Alabama and Auburn played in back-to-back weeks for a national title, that's what this is. That's probably one of the analogies that I gave. Yeah. So
okay.
That's what you're looking at. That's what you're looking at with the Copa Libertadores.
Well, I mean, if all else fails, because I will be at the Georgia State, Georgia Southern game covering that one around that time.
Yep.
So if all else fails, I
charge
guess I will.
Charge up your mobile device
FaceTime.
And make sure that you can watch it.
Well, I was just going to FaceTime you and have you just turn your phone towards your coverage of it there. And that way, because I haven't given my preview of that game, but I think as the State Southern game has done 4 out of 4 times, it usually goes sideways in one direction or the other very quickly and stays that way. So if that game starts to get out of hand, maybe we can get that on the Jumbotron there at the old Ted.
There you go. I dig that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, if it does, I'll give you a call. You can stop by and watch it there if you want.
There you go. I know that we have Iron Bowl plans. I have Iron Bowl plans with the boss at a location. So I might be having Iron Bowl in front of a party and the COPA on the cellular device.
Ah, yep. That's what people don't realize is that people think when we cover things in the media that we just sit up there and watch the game and eat popcorn. I was like, no, there's so much more work that gets done, but there's also, thanks to technology nowadays, if we can get multiple screens, we have multiple games and multiple things on multiple screens at all times, because there's just so much going on at one time now.
And that's the fun part of this whole thing, is trying to keep your head on a swivel and cover it all.
Yep, absolutely. But for those just joining us as well, that is John Nelson from Soccer Down Here. I guess we will get into this game now that we have went sideways, told people how they can watch maybe the second most important soccer game this weekend. And
third, if you count Portland and Sporting Kansas City.
Yeah, you know, that's true. That's true. Those are, well, it might be 1A, 1B, 1C, because all three of them are important in their own way. But as one of our co-hosts here at the studio, Sunshine the Cat, for some reason she loves playing with the mouse. I guess that's without even trying to be funny. That's just what cats do, I guess. But
yes.
But let's get into this game, because like I said, to echo something that Jason says all the time on Soccer Down Here, is every game is the new best and biggest game, most important game for Atlanta United. Well, we're to this point now, hosting the first leg of basically the semifinals. The Red Bulls, honestly, I honestly was hoping that they would lose, because I thought the unfinished business elsewhere would have been a good story as well. But also, the Red Bulls are the one who basically stole the shield from the United. They get a chance to take them out here, and I think we can all agree that no matter what, the winner of this, the first and second leg of this, is probably going to win the whole cup. But what are the real big things to look for in this matchup between the Red Bulls and United?
Well, philosophically, you look at how United went after NYCFC and did the 3-5-2, 5-3-2, however you want to phrase it. And I think really you saw a more defensively aggressive, and by that I mean in their tackling and in their pursuit of the ball, you saw a more aggressive side. Just look at LGP and what he was doing at the back. You see what Franco Escobar was capable of, and you saw him help out at the back so Julian Gressel could work his way up the right-hand side as a wing, and so you'd have Franco Escobar come in and be there defensively, but also work his way down the seam. And Tajiri Shradi tackles Escobar in the box, creates the PK that Joseph scores on in the home leg. And I think that really when you look at Red Bulls, they don't like to possess the ball. What they like to do is press, create, you know, if you want to mix your sports here a little bit, create with off the press, create turnovers and a short field so they can transition very quickly and get shots on net. The question for Atlanta United is, how are you going to line up? You know, do you line up with a 3-5-2 where it's Gressel and Garza as your wing backs, Escobar, Cap and LGP as your three? Now, I think the questions right now are the health of Jeff Lorenowitz and Tito Villalba. And what do you want to do in the middle? Is it Remington, the combined version of Remedy and Darlington Nagbe? Is Jeff healthy? Is Jeff going to be the one who drops back? What do you do if it's not Gressel? Is it Barco? You probably have Miguel playing behind Joseph, but where NYCFC is concerned, they don't like to possess the ball. Do you, if you're Atlanta United, do you bomb it down the field and force them to work out of their defensive third and work their way forward? You know, do you have, and you're probably going to have Escobar man-marking Kamara Lawrence. You know, there are a lot of the questions when it comes to, I think formationally, I think you're, it's safe to sit there and say it's going to be some kind of combination of a 3-5-2. But for me, when I was filling out my lineup card, the question marks I had were Jeff and Tito. And if they're healthy, then what can they give you? Then you look at yellow card accumulation. That's another thing you have to pay attention to. And really the one that you really have to look at for yellow card accumulation is Eric Rometty. Because if Rometty gets another yellow, then he's out for the second leg. But what you want to do with the yellows that you have with Joseph and Miles and Eric Rometty is you want to make sure that you can get them through this leg, because yellows don't carry over into MLS Cup. You just get them through this leg, then you're fine. But do you want to try to have Red Bulls possess the ball and work their way through and work their way forward? You know, how do you respond? And this can apply for either team. How do you respond when you get punched in the mouth?
Right.
Understanding that this is a 180-minute match. This is not something that's going to be settled and solved after the first leg, but it could give you an indication as to how things will be going into the second leg. Because if Atlanta United gets, you know, a two-goal advantage, and the key is to make sure that Red Bulls don't get an away goal. If you win 1-0, fine. You kept them from getting an away goal. If you win 2-0, that's gravy. That's fantastic. You go up to Harrison, New Jersey a week from tomorrow as you and I are talking. Then you park the bus, you slash the tires, you set it on fire, and you cow tip it right in the middle of the pitch. But those are the things that you really you're looking at philosophically. And if you look at the quotes from a guy like Chris Armas, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot. There seems to be more talking themselves up and deflecting the notion that people aren't talking about them, about getting supporter shield and 71 points and all these accomplishments. And so you're wondering if they're trying to talk themselves up a little bit coming into things. I mean, you know, Joel Robles kind of discussed the notion that, you know, if, you know, that Atlanta United is going to try to get that goose egg of never having beaten Red Bulls and, you know, try to get that goose egg off their back. And so, you know, it's how you get, you know, how you respond when you get punched in the mouth, knowing that you're going to get punched in the mouth more than once. How do you adjust from that point forward? And how do you turn this into a malleable approach for 180 minutes? And it could be 210 by the time you're done, plus penalties.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, that's the key. Like you said, it comes down to you really want to take advantage of being at home, because if you do give up that away goal, it seems to change the course of every matchup. I mean, pretty much in the history of soccer for the most part. And you, especially to a team like the Red Bulls, that's what makes this matchup so unique is, like you said, they like to kind of do a pick-your-spot, organized chaos. They like to cause chaos and wait for you to turn it over and then just hammer you for it, where Atlanta likes to be super aggressive, play up a lot, really take a lot of chances because they know they have the back line that can, they pretty much hold off almost anybody. And if you do get through the back line, Brad Guzan is all world in the net. So you have the hyper aggressive versus the wants to sit back and let you make a mistake. This is going to be one of the best matchups probably all year long.
And this is the thing. So you've got number one and number two in the East, and that's what everybody's looking at. And so this is not to sneeze at Sporting and Portland, because you're going to have two very competitive coaches chasing after each other there. But I think that this one's going to be – it's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth, a lot of biting of the fingernails. It's going to be edge of your seat for 180 minutes. So just, you know, make sure that you're prepared for it, because it's not just one leg and you're done. It is a two-legged approach. It's, you know, it is a two-legged approach of trying to figure out how to get through. And you saw – Atlanta United throw things at NYCFC that they hadn't done. and it gave Chris Arm, it's giving Chris Armas and Red Bull something else to think about. You know, it's like those plays when you've already clinched a conference championship, like when you're in college football, and you're just kind of trotting plays out there in the game, in the in-between game, just to kind of sit there and give the other team something to think about. Like, you know, you'll line up the quarterback as an eligible receiver out wide and you flex him, and then you run the wildcat and, you know, you'll put three quarterbacks in or something like that. Or you'll bring in a player who hasn't gotten a whole lot of reps, and like the tight end will go down the seam who hadn't caught a touchdown pass all year, who catches one late in the year. It's other stuff that you have to prepare for that I think we saw, and the approach that we saw against NYCFC, that is probably also giving Red Bulls some more things to think about this time of year.
Now, I know you guys are kind of on a weird recording schedule, kind of like we were. Obviously, you guys are a lot more organized than we were. But have you guys given predictions yet?
No, because we do that on the Friday show. We do that on the last show heading into the weekend for any kind of a match. You know, we'll do it either day of if it's something in the middle of the week, or on a Friday for a weekend. So that will be in the Friday show. And so that will be when we give our predictions.
All right. Well, I will go ahead and drop mine live on this show, and then hopefully I remember to send mine into you guys Friday.
Yes.
I actually think that we kind of had it reversed, because when myself and John Watts from here ran into you and Jason, we were thinking the last game at Mercedes-Benz was going to be 2-1. Turns out it ended up being 3-1. I was thinking 3-1 on this one the whole way until, I don't know, I want to give Red Bulls more credit than that. So I actually think it's going to be 2-1. Obviously, Martinez will have one of them. The other one, it's going to be just somebody you wouldn't expect. So if Larinowicz plays, it'll be somebody like him. It'll be, I like to say, I would love LGP to do it just because he's one of my favorites, but it's just going to be – I don't think it's going to be him. It's going to be somebody. It's going to be a Rometty. It's going to be somebody – maybe Kratz comes in late and pops one in. Somebody that's unexpected, just like you said, that, you know, just happens to be in the right spot is going to knock that second one in. And I think it's going to be tight early, and then that second one's going to come about the 72nd, 75th minute. And 2-1, I think, is what I'm going to go with.
All right, so that is now on tape, and that is now part of the Impact Archive. So on Friday, remember that this has to be sent in and submitted in a hermetically sealed envelope for us on the Friday show.
2-1 United. I'm going to write it on my actual sheet here and type it in my phone when this show is over so that I hopefully remember. In fact, I'll set an alarm and do it that way. But, yeah, I'm going to go with – I'll set an alarm on my phone. That way I'll actually remember, because now Friday morning I should be able to listen to you guys, because it's not till Friday evening when I'll be at the second best ticket in the state at the Atlanta Gladiators game.
There you go. Yeah, the boss and I need to go catch the Glads, and we also need to go catch the Atlanta Capitals at some point too.
Ooh, who are the Capitals?
That is the junior hockey team that plays at the rink at Roswell Road and 285.
Oh, okay.
Part of the North American Hockey League.
I was not familiar with their actual mascot name there. That's why. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I need to make it over there and do that, because hockey's just the sport for me. I don't know if it's on the same level or not, because I think me and you guys would probably all argue this, especially Jason. But like the way Jason is about soccer is me and hockey. I guess we're on those over the top levels that I don't know. I turned down a lot of really good things over the weekend to take a lot of my family out to their first Gladiators game, and including passing on what was one of the best Kennesaw college football games in a long time. I passed up a chance to cover that, and God, what else was going on? Something else was going on. What else was it? It was something else, but I passed on two really good things to what turned out to be a great evening out at the Gladiators. For anybody who hadn't been out there, I mean, seriously, like $20 or less will get you in the door and will get you great seats. We sat two rows behind the away team for 25, and that's after fees. So, I mean, where else for 20 bucks can you see 3 hours of Gladiators on Ice, basically?
Completely and totally down with that. Yeah, it's a fun experience, trust me.
Yeah, it definitely is. But I'm not going to keep you too much longer because I appreciate you hanging out as long as you did and hanging out this late in the evening because we kept having a lot of delays. And like I said, when you spend all day in the car, you just never know how things are going to go. But John, it's definitely been great getting to have you back on. Getting to preview this game. This game is going to be super huge. I'm going to do my best to listen in Friday and hopefully remember to send that in. Past that, keep doing the great things you're doing with all the high school, the high school football and everything. Because obviously I do some stuff with Douglas County, but they are long gone. I think they just got tired of playing. But keep doing what you're doing there and what all you guys are doing with soccer down here. It's really helping grow this game. It's getting more and more people involved, and I think it can only lead to bigger and better things.
No, we appreciate it. You know, the biggest thing is now that we've got the Soccer Down Here app available on iOS and Android, so you can always download the show and listen when we bust out a new 1v1 or a new episode. You know when we're live. You know when something's on tape. You know when something's being submitted. So that's been a fun new step over the last couple of months. And being able to work with and to learn from Jason and Jarrett and learn about what's going on for the sport for me, it's been my PhD class in the sport, and it's been fun. But thanks for letting me come and hang out with you.
Hey, and you know, you can, I guess just for the sake of the last time Jarrett was on, you can tell him that you threw out the Daniel Bryan mention, and I did not bring up CM Punk until you were about to be leaving.
There you go. All right, be good.
All right, we'll see you later on down the road, John. Thanks once again.
Anytime, my friend.
Of course, that was John Nelson from Soccer Down Here. Him and Jason Longshore and Jarrett Smith do some fantastic things. He reminded me about the app, so even though he is not listening currently, I am currently downloading the app because that is another thing that I absolutely forgot. So I apologize, guys, for that, but I assure you it's already halfway downloading now. I will have the Soccer Down Here app in about 35 more seconds. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk some NFL. And you know what? Who knows how long this show is going to be. So we will I'm going to go ahead and talk some college football after that. We're going to talk some hockey. We're going to put it all in one. We're going to have one big super show. Who knows who could join us. If you guys do want to join us, 347-826-7448. Love to hear from you guys. We'll be right back as soon as I find the button.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we are back. Just talked to the great John Nelson from Soccer Down Here. We previewed the game. We talked about all kinds of great stuff. United's got a big game, huge game coming up this Sunday on top of all the other ones. He talked about the Luchadores game going on this Saturday. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, just so many great things. Definitely so many great things. But, yeah, like I said, I'm going to get in some NFL. We'll finish up talking some hockey, and somewhere in between we will talk a little bit of college football. I'll try to let you guys know so that if you're listening for one side or the other, I will try to give you a basic time as to when to listen. And I'm going to do my best. So, you know, for all you guys who listen out there, it's going to be a super long show, but definitely appreciate you guys hanging out with us. But let's jump into some NFL action. Now, over the weekend, a lot of big things happened. Some surprising things. It seems like towards the end of the season, a lot of these smaller teams are finding a way to kind of hammer the big teams. And when I say smaller teams, the ones who are all but out of contention, they're finding a way. And they're finding a way to disrupt other people's seasons, and I'm for that chaos. I mean, we're going to see it. We're going to see it a lot more. Like the Chargers losing to Denver. Denver was able to hang on. They had the last-minute drive. I was able to see that. They kicked the field goal, won that one 23-22. Denver's a team that I think Case Keenum's doing pretty well. Their defense is starting to come around. I'm trying to text and talk at the same time. So, bear with me here. But with Denver, Von Miller, the usual suspect there, still one of the best pass rushers in the game. He is leading this defense to doing some pretty cool things. You know, so they lost to Keep to lead. Yeah, he plays for the Rams. They seem to be doing okay. They're starting to put things together. They're starting to come around. This Broncos team, if they can nail down a couple other decent draft picks, then, you know, look out for Denver the next couple of years. But being able to knock off the Chargers puts the Chargers right back in that boat where you're just like, they showed so much promise. Are they going to be able to hang on? You know, it's as talented as this Chargers team is. I mean, they're one of the most talented in the team. It just seems like you just – it's just you want Phillip Rivers to have a chance. I don't think it's going to be this year because I don't think anybody's going to be able to beat the Saints or the Rams or the Chiefs or maybe Pittsburgh. I don't even know that the Patriots are – they're going to be a team to beat, but I don't know that they're going to – I just don't know. I'm not sure about the Patriots. I think they're really, really good. They have a chance once they get in there, but without home field advantage, I'm just not real sure what's going to happen. Now, let's move on to another game. I talked about the Saints there. They just crushed the Eagles. I mean, If a Saint and an Eagle, I guess, actually fought, I'm not sure why a Saint would fight anything in particular, but Saint and an Eagle fought. This Saint just unceremoniously knocked that Eagle out of the sky and stepped on his throat. I mean, just, it looked like an exhibition. It looked like a practice. Just, these two teams are going in opposite directions. The Saints are clearly trending up. The Eagles, hope you enjoyed your Super Bowl. At least you got one because you ain't going this year. I don't think they get out of their division. Their division comes down to Washington and Dallas. And Washington just lost their quarterback. And we'll get into those two teams here in a minute. But, yeah, Saints are the best team in the league. It's not close. We saw that great. We'll get into the Monday night game here. We saw them just the Rams and the Chiefs just put on a scoring exhibition. Hey, there was three defensive touchdowns and a fourth one that was called back. So it wasn't all offense, but to watch those two teams do that, and the Saints probably just thought, oh, that's cute. Because if the Saints get in that, then they're absolutely gonna win that. I have probably 98% confidence, 98% confidence that the Saints would beat both those teams if it got into a score fest. Because that plays right into what the Saints want to do. They want to put as much points on the board as possible, and their defense is coming around to where they make plays. So you got to look out for them. It's probably the oddest stat I've ever heard. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers just can't score points, but they're getting yards. Fitzpatrick starts to stall in this game against the Giants. So So they put in Jameis. Jameis almost leads them to the comeback. They lose this one 38-35. They put all kinds of points on the board for once. But these two quarterbacks, Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick, have combined for over to throw for over 6,000 yards. Over 6,000 between the two of them. And yet they've won like three games. Just tells you where the Buccaneers are. They're going to have a whole new coaching staff. If they're smart, they keep Fitzpatrick. Here lately, I don't credit them with being smart. I would keep Fitzpatrick. I would draft the next quarterback, and I would get a coach in here who is going to change the culture, because I think that's what's going on down there. Kudos to the Giants for hammering out 38 points and a win, and them and Oakland this year are apparently not sure if they want the top pick or not, according to Derek Carr of the Raiders. He doesn't want the top pick, but of course not, because if they have the top pick, they're taking a quarterback, and he's unceremoniously out of town. Although, Derek, you probably want to get out of town, and probably faster than your team is. But, you know, it seems like every week, no matter which Buccaneers quarterback starts, the other one comes in to relief and gets them close. So, at this point, I would just start one and tell the other one, you know, stay loose. Seattle hung on to beat Green Bay. I know this is a point Collins made and some other people have made, but it stuck out to me. Aaron Rodgers, when he plays against other really good quarterbacks, you know, the Brady's, the Breeze, the Russell Wilson, those guys, he usually doesn't fare well. He has a super awful record against really great quarterbacks. But when he plays against, you know, when he plays against the, I guess the Case Keenums of the world, not the personal Case, the Ryan Fitzpatricks, the Jameis Winstons, he typically does pretty well. I just want to know, at what point are we going to stop making excuses for Aaron Rodgers and just go, well, it is what it is. He's going to compile a lot of stats. He's going to rub some people the wrong way. He's going to run a few coaches out of town. But he's Brett Favre 2.0. He got his ring early. He's aloof. He's kind of a loner. He's outspoken. Like I said, he runs coaches off. Tremendous arm and talent, but in his case, he took the money. And when he took the money, that's fine, but you can't afford any players. You're stuck with young guys, and they've hit on some of the draft picks, which is nice, but they've had to get some of the other guys out because they couldn't afford them. You know, Green Bay, just know you're going to always have a super young team, and all your money's going to go to Aaron Rodgers, and you might get into the playoffs, but, I mean, you're not going to win anything. The Jaguars won the first half. Congratulations. We can, you know, go next door to UCF there, and maybe they'll make you a banner, maybe throw you a parade for winning the first half. Because then in the second half, you gave up 20 straight unanswered points to Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh beat you 22-16. So congratulations, Jaguars, on your first half win. And congratulations on continuing to be Jacksonville. No, continue to be the Jaguars. I'm not going to put this on the city of Jacksonville because they're way better. They're a way better fan base than their team is giving them right now. And that's pathetic. The Texans are able to outlast Washington 23-21. The biggest story out of this, there was a hit on Alex Smith to where he broke his tibia and fibula. He is not only out for the next 8 to 10 months, but Washington is to Colt McCoy. Colt McCoy is a solid backup. He's not a bad quarterback, but Colt McCoy is who they will be riding with for the rest of the season. I think not only does the Dallas win, which I will talk about in a minute, keep them in the mix, but the fact that it's down to a backup quarterback in Washington may change the entire NFC East. But Texans, I don't want it to go unnoticed that they did have a good, solid game. Their defense is on all cylinders, and their offense is not bad. Not bad at all. Let's see. The Panthers lost to the Lions 20-19. They went for two late. Riverboat Ron going for two late, and he missed it. I can't fault him for doing it. And I'm not going to go analytics and, well, the numbers say you should go for it. And no, it's got nothing to do with that. No, the numbers have nothing at all to do with it. He saw an opportunity to win on the road, and he went for it, and he missed. You're not going to hit everything. I still think he's a fantastic coach. I still think it was the right call. It just didn't work. For one, Cam was not accurate at all. He threw a laser behind his receiver. I mean, you know, Cam messed that up. But I can't put it all on Cam because Cam's the one that got him in there. But Panthers lose. I would say it helps the Falcons, but at this point, there's other things to play for. The Ravens and their new quarterback, Lamar Jackson, or at least for last week, they run a majority of the time, including him doing 27 design run plays. It's even Michael Vick said that's way too much. He didn't do that in the game. But they run a majority of the time. Cincinnati acts like they have never seen a Lamar Jackson tape. Shocking. And even with a new defense coordinator, they lose this from 24-21. Nothing personal. You got to get Marvin Lewis out of there. You got to get, you got to change the personnel out. You got to change the face and the culture. There's another place that needs to change the culture. Andy Dalton deserves better than that. If you guys aren't going to keep him, put him somewhere he'll do well. I don't know. Maybe John Gruden wants him out in Oakland or Las Vegas, because why not? Speaking of Oakland, they decide to muck up their top draft position. They win 23-21 versus Arizona. Arizona's bad. We know that. Arizona's probably going to have the top pick. Yeah, they have two wins. So does Oakland now. But Arizona's two wins are against San Francisco. That's it. They beat San Francisco, and they've lost to everybody else. I'm not sure how they beat San Francisco. San Francisco is a lot better than that. But, Oakland can't even lose right. It's just a pathetic, just awful. Oakland, get your act together. In fact, no, the Raiders, get your act together. It's not Oakland. The city of Oakland, once again, deserves, their fan base deserves better than the product that's being put out there. Because they got a great roster, or a good roster. Just, I mean, like I said, if I was Derek Carr, I'd find my way out of town. It was odd to me that the entire AFC East was on a bye this week. The Patriots, Jets, Bills, and Dolphins all on break, and so was the 49ers in Cleveland. Just to add it, but it was funny to see the entire division dormant. We talked about Monday Night Football, the big injuries. You know, I told you about Alex Smith. That sucks. That's what it does. It sucks. Not much of a better word to use than that. It's terrible. Not just because somebody got hurt, but Alex Smith never gets his due. And you know, he's probably not going to get it this time either. And hopefully, I think he's 34. Hopefully, he's able to rehab and get back in the league, because Washington still owes him some money. But that's not why he plays. He plays the game because he's good. He's really good. And hopefully, he'll get the credit. Mariota hurt his elbow. Not sure. I think he's day-to-day, week-to-week or something with that. We will see how that particular thing goes. Now, I do not have the totals on our pick, but I guess I could do them live. Cody leads currently after going 4-0. I also went 4-0. He leads 13-1. Coach is 25-18-1. Reggie is 24-19-1. And I am 24-19-1. As well. So I have caught Reggie after going 4-0 on that one. I do not have Reggie's picks, which as I get them, I will post them later in the week. It won't matter for what we're doing tonight, but I do have everybody else's picks. I will go into those, and then as I said, we will talk some college football. We will talk some hockey, because there's some good hockey stuff going on. We will do a big smorgasbord show out of this one. Well, before we do picks, let's talk about this Dallas and Atlanta game. This game pretty much played out the way I thought it would. it'd be very, very similar teams. The only difference is people thought Atlanta would be better than this. For the most part, Dallas fans in general, we pretty much thought this that we were back to an 8-8 style team. It's probably where we're at, 7-9, somewhere in there. We appreciated the win. I've just, you know, it seemed like the offense had struggled early. I mean, this game was like, what, 9-6 or something by halftime and into the fourth. And I mean, then the fourth quarter, it was desperation time. And Dallas a little more desperate, a little more urgency. They won on the last second field goal. Now, I give Atlanta credit. They were down 19-12. And Atlanta is able to, especially with the help of Matt Ryan to Julio, but Sanu caught a few, Ridley had a few. It's just everybody who spread it out. They scored to tie it up at 19, but they left a minute 48. Now, once again, I'm not the world's biggest Dak Prescott fan. I respect him. He is Dallas Cowboys quarterback, and he's better than a lot of the other options that are out there. I don't, like I said, I think he's the bridge to the next guy. I don't think he's the next guy. Whole different day we can get into that. But the Falcons left a minute 48 to somebody like Dak Prescott, who, if it was a minute, could he have beat you? I don't think so. It was a minute 48. And he got down there, he got in position, and he beat you. He was able to get in position where Mayer, however you say his name, was he kicked the field goal and beat you. But, I mean, just like I said earlier, with the Eagles and Saints, these are, except for Dallas and Atlanta, are still similar teams. They're just going opposite directions. Dallas is trending up. Atlanta's trending down. And I don't know why. I don't know why it's starting to go south for Atlanta. Like I said, I think you're done, but there's things to play for. You can not only disrupt, but you're building for next year, and you're still wanting to finish strong. They're still trying to finish for the fan base because they know you guys spend your money, your time, your effort, everything out there, cheering, supporting, doing everything for them. Everything that the crowd can do to keep you in these games, this Atlanta fan base is doing. When you're in Mercedes-Benz, you hear it. When you're watching on TV, you see it. This fan base hasn't given up on this team. And I can say the same thing about Georgia State later. But Falcons fans, you guys are the reason they keep pushing forward. But once again, the product that is on the being put on the field every week is less than what you guys deserve. They've got to shore this up. It's not just, oh, they have a bad defense. No, there's sometimes that the defense doesn't allow 10 points. The problem is the offense didn't score it. You know, those kinds of things. It's just they've got to put it all together. And if they don't watch it, it might cost you your head coach. And I think Dan Quinn is one of the good guys and one of the real good head coaches in this league. I don't think he's going to be let go this year. But you have back-to-back years like this, Arthur's ready to win. Arthur wants to win now. He's got the team in place to win now. That's why you pay Matt Ryan that money. That's why Calvin Ridley gets drafted this early. That's why Julio gets his bonus. That's why you keep Sanu around. That's why, you know, before you have to do something with Tevin Coleman, you're probably going to lose him in the next year or so because you gave Devontae the money. Alford and Trufant are starting to have issues. Well, you're going to have to start doing something on the back end because you lost your 52. But all these guys will slowly start coming back, but it wasn't the injuries. I don't know what's going on with this Atlanta team. I hope they put it together because, like we all know, I am a Dallas Cowboys fan first. But Atlanta's always been the hometown team, and I've always wanted them to do well, except for when they played the Cowboys. I still wanted them to do well. I still wanted them to win. But it's just, I don't know, it's just so bizarre that, you know, I hope they're able to flip it around and do something with it. Now, let's get into our picks. this week we did something we haven't done in a while. And that is each of the four games has to do with one of our teams. By the looks of it, we'll not have Reggie's pick. There's a chance you will hear Homer. Let's start with Sunday Night Football. We've got the Green Bay Packers going to Minnesota to take on the Vikings. I'll tell you right now. Cody took Minnesota. Don't know what Reggie did. I'll tell you what I did.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
I took the Minnesota Vikings. Is Kirk Cousins one of those top-tier guys? No, but he's in the B level. He's not the A level. He's the B-plus level. He's right there on the cusp. He's playing some really good football right now. They've got all the weapons. They've got all the team. Their defense is ferocious. In Green Bay, they're kind of like Atlanta. They're trending down to me. I think they're already out of their division, and Minnesota needs this more. It's going to be in the bright light, so Aaron Rodgers is going to put up a heck of a battle and try to keep them in it. But in the long run, you're just going to see Green Bay's just – they're not that team this year. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, you wouldn't believe the way Cody and Coach picked these. Coach took San Francisco, probably because they want it more. Cody actually took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, not going to hear a homer on this one. I'm taking San Francisco. It doesn't matter what Tampa Bay does. I mean, if it becomes a score fest, it's the only way they win there. But, yeah, Tampa is awful. We're going to continue to see that it's awful. And San Francisco is looking to put a few more wins up. I don't know if Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard or, I don't know, maybe Cody is the quarterback this week. Although I guess he'll be in Pittsburgh, not Tampa Bay. So maybe not. Yeah, San Francisco wants this more. They're going to do a lot more to try to win. And if Tampa was smart, they don't tank. Don't try to blow this game on purpose, but if they were smart, I'd see what I had with some of the other guys on your team. Now we get the Washington Redskins going to the Dallas Cowboys. This game is the meat of the sandwich that is the games all tomorrow. Cody took Washington. He's a Colt McCoy fan. That makes sense. Coach took Dallas. And I'll tell you right now who's going to win this. The Dallas Cowboys are going to win this. And here's why. Washington is to their backup. They're dinged up in a lot of other places as well. They've been kind of a weird up and down year. Like some people said, half the people forgot Washington was in the league. And they're leading the division. They've just quietly kind of moseyed through the season. They've had some decent wins. They've had some not-so-good losses. But as much as all the way up until this week, I said Washington was the best team in this division. They should win this division. The Dallas Cowboys are probably going to be the worst team to make the playoffs. I very much think that's just where we're going to be up to. But give me Dallas. Now, I'm not even homering out on this one. I don't know that Washington can stop the Dallas train right now. Don't worry. Somewhere down the road, probably here soon, somebody will stop the Dallas train, but it won't be Washington, especially on Thanksgiving. Leads us to our last game, the Atlanta Falcons. In the late game on Thursday, tomorrow, in the late game, they're going to follow Washington-Dallas with Atlanta at New Orleans. Yep, they're in New Orleans. They're in the original Mercedes Dome building down there. Cody took New Orleans. That makes sense. Just told you they're the best team in the league. Coach, he also took New Orleans. And once again, you heard what I said about one team. You heard what I just said about the other.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Sorry, Reggie. Give me the Saints. Give me Willie Lutz with some big kicks. Give me Drew Brees running up the score. And Sean Payton as potential coach of the year. And not just because they're the buzzsaw team. He's what he does each and every year. I don't know why he does. He's one of those guys that could win it every year. But to recap, Coach Cody and myself all took Minnesota at home on Sunday Night Football over Green Bay. It's kind of interesting that Coach didn't take Green Bay, but he sees it too. Cody took Tampa Bay. Me and Coach took San Francisco. They would be the road dogs in that one. Cody took Washington. Coach and myself took Dallas. And we all took New Orleans at home in the Twilight game tomorrow night as they welcome in the Falcons. So that's all of the NFL. Let's get into some college football real quick. As we, because I did not do a show last week, and it was partly because you can probably still hear a little bit in my voice that I'm still not 100%, but had to keep trooping. Trust me, you guys could not have heard me. It was somewhere around whisper level. You guys couldn't have heard me when I tried to do the show. But just know, not counting last week, because I did not make picks because I did not do a show. In the previous 5 weeks, I am 7-1, 6-2, 4-4, 6-2, and 7-1. I typically do pretty good on these picks. So let's get into that, and then I'm going to talk some Georgia State, Georgia Southern. The picks for this week. Remember, I usually live pick them, just like I do with the NFL stuff. I usually live pick them right here. First game, number 18, Mississippi State, goes to their rival, Ole Miss. Ole Miss has had a pretty solid season. Their quarterback they have, yeah, been doing pretty well. Last time they had a pretty good quarterback like this, his name was Eli. Mississippi State is ranked number 18, and I think that matters. They have had a pretty solid season for the most part. More ups than downs. I think they're going to hang in this one. Give me Mississippi State on the road. Shout out to a couple of my in-laws down in Starksville. Thanks for listening. Next game, I've got Houston, Memphis. These are two teams that have been pretty solid. In fact, I'm going to pull this up. I can't remember the exact spread on this one. I want to make sure I get it right because it is going to influence how I pick, and if it's going to be a upset or not. Yeah, Memphis is favored by a touchdown. That's mainly because they're at home. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm taking Memphis, which means it is not an upset pick, but I'm taking Memphis because they are at home. They have one less win than Houston. Houston is going to come. You know, they're going to come prepared. They're going to bring everything they got. But 12 o'clock game on ABC, give me Memphis. I don't know about the points. I think they win by 3 or 4 points and not 7. So maybe don't take the points. But give me Memphis in that one. We've got number 6, Oklahoma, traveling to West Virginia to take on the number 13th ranked squad there. Oklahoma is a 3-point favorite, which is interesting because they are the road team. In an upset, give me West Virginia at home against Oklahoma. Unfortunately, this is Oklahoma, look, they're probably one of the best teams that could knock off Alabama if they got the chance. But I think Oklahoma, you're going to take a shot on this one. This is a ESPN game Friday night at 8 p.m., so make sure to check that one. But I'm going to take West Virginia. Next up, number 16, Washington, goes to their cross-state rival, Washington State, who is ranked number 8 in this one. Washington, another great season. Washington State's just been a little bit better. I think you take the home team there as well. You take Washington State. That is a Friday game as well on Fox at 8:30. A lot of the rivalries just weren't talking about a whole lot. I will get to that one here soon. Number 20, Syracuse, is going to go to Boston College. This is a Saturday noon kickoff game on ESPN. Boston College is actually favored by 6.5. So you know what? I think Syracuse has won X game. They've kind of been down a lot more than they've been up after going on a huge tear early. Give me the dog. Give me Syracuse in what is apparently an upset since Boston College is favored. So give me Syracuse in the win at Boston College on that one. The next game is number 21 Utah State against number 23 Boise State. This could be a fun one. This could definitely be a fun one. Saturday, 10:15 on ESPN. Boise State is favored by 2.5. I think that tells you right there. You got to go Utah State. Number 21 ranked Utah State is going to win this one. It's going to be really, really close. I think it could come down to a field goal, but I think you take them in that one. Next one, Troy at Appalachian State. It's a big game. Either one of these teams are ranked. Doesn't matter. The Sun Belt has been more than the Fun Belt. It has been the Slam Town Belt this year. But you got 9-2 Troy against 8-2 Appalachian State. App State is actually favored by 10.5 in this one. Appalachian State coming off the big, huge victory against Georgia State last week. App State this time of year is beautiful. Trying not to get snowed in on the mountain. But, yeah, take Appalachian State in this one. Troy's going to put up a good fight, but in the long run, it's not going to be enough. Now to the game that you guys all want to hear about. Nope. Not talking about LSU, Texas A&M. Not talking about Georgia Tech. By the way, LSU and Georgia, as far as those are concerned, those are not official picks. Those are just off the top of my head. But I'm talking about number 4 Michigan going to the Horseshoe to take on the the number 10 ranked Ohio State Buckeyes. Now, just because I'm around some Ohio State fans all day, I have worn a Michigan hat all week long. On Saturday at 12, Michigan is only favored by 4. I think you take them and the points. I think they're going to win by more than 4. You take my Michigan Wolverines. This is not a homer pick. You can call it one if you like. This is not a homer pick. Ohio State is becoming a mess. Urban Meyer is going to be gone after this year. Nick Bosa has already left because he wants to be in the draft. Haskins is good. I just think this Michigan defense is just going to make a statement, and they're going to make it early. And there's just too much chaos going on at Ohio State. Give me the Michigan Wolverines and the points because they're going to win by more than 4. So to recap, take number 18, Mississippi State, on the road at Ole Miss. Take Memphis at home versus Houston. Take number 13, West Virginia, at home versus number 6, Oklahoma, in an upset. See, was that other one an upset? No. Take number 8, Washington State, at home versus number 16, Washington. Take number 20, Syracuse, in an upset over Boston College. Take Appalachian State over Troy, Appalachian State at home, and take number 21, Utah State, at number 23, Boise State, and then take my Michigan Wolverines, number 4, over the number 10-ranked Buckeyes, and take the points. Now, Georgia State, Georgia Southern. We all know Georgia Southern having a way better year than Georgia State. It happens. Can't win them all. In fact, it's kind of bizarre as to why Georgia State is kind of where they are with this. I'm not real sure. You got high-level coaching, high-level talent, great fan base, great cheer squads, and spectacular band. You have everything you should need except for wins, apparently. And it's not that they haven't been in certain games. They've been in a lot of games. But it's just been bizarre. And I know Georgia Southern is probably highly favored in this one. Let me just throw this out. These two teams were in a similar position a couple years ago. Yeah, Georgia Southern is favored by 11. That's 11. That's That's not all that much, really. But these two teams were in a similar position a couple years ago. And Georgia State proceeded to hand Georgia Southern one of the biggest beatdowns they've had in school history. I mean, I'm talking record-wise, season-wise. Georgia State really didn't have much to play for except for the fact of getting a win on the board and downing Southern's season. Well, that's pretty much where we're at here. Just like Falcons fans, I say that you can disrupt and you can put as many wins on the board as you can. Georgia State, this is your chance. You want to put the bookend on this season so that you can turn the page and move on to next season. Then you got to put those Eagles on the ground. You got to just swat them out of the air. You got to put them on the ground. You got to put a big number on the board and show them. There's a reason why in the four times these teams have met, Georgia State has three wins. Yep, they are 3-1 against Georgia Southern. 3-1. And I'm going to actually change it up. Georgia State, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do the opposite of what I've said this entire time. Usually I say establish the run. No. Throw early. It can be short passes, it can be long passes. Set up some good stuff. Put the ball in Dan Ellington's hand and go, Dan, you got this. You do. Can I tell you right now, Dan, you can't see me, but just listen. Dan Ellington, the quarterback of Georgia State, you got this. You've got this. If they didn't think that you could do this, you wouldn't be in the position you're in. And that's not saying one of these other quarterbacks couldn't pull this off too. But no, Dan, you give us the best option to defeat these Southerners. It's one of the few times I ever pull against things named Southerners. But here are the three keys to the game. We're going to throw early. We're going to be aggressive on defense. I don't know if they're aggressive. They're typically trying to be aggressive, but it hasn't looked like they were. So, you know, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to almost play Atlanta United style. Throw early. We're going to be aggressive. And we're going to win the turnover battle. That's something I occasionally say, but I'm going to echo this because there's a chance we might have a special guest, somebody who has received some national attention in the previous couple weeks. Maybe you guys can figure out who it is. We're going to try to line that up for maybe the pregame show. If not, I'm going to try to have him on at some point because he deserves recognition and he hasn't been on the show in a while. It'll be great to see him again. But that's what we're going to do. I am predicting a state victory over Southern. You know, don't at me. But that's absolutely what I think is going to happen. It is what it is. That's the college football stuff from this week. I'm going to talk a little bit of hockey at this point. Mainly I'm going to tell you about the game the other night where I was able to take my mom, my dad, good buddy Jake, who also does a lot of stuff here. You guys haven't really, have him on at some point too. I see the text line lighting up. And also my brother and his girlfriend were able to take all them out to the Gladiators game. We sat two rows behind the Everblades bench, which was good because I know a couple, I've become familiar with some of the players. I know the assistant coach well. He has been on board check many times, or at least once. He's going to be on many more times. Didn't go the way of the Gladiators as far as the score, but was able to run into an old friend and her son, who will get a chance to play on the same ice next week, this Friday, be at that game as well. Some other stuff. Carolina doing some pretty good things. You know, Darling and McElhaney have been able to put up some good numbers in net. Svechnikov and Ferlin and especially Teravainen and Aho have been doing some spectacular things. You got Dougie Hamilton, who has been holding it down back in the defensive zone with Atlanta. Some a little more down as far as the standings than up, but this team is very physical. They're very exciting. There's a reason why I call them the second best ticket in the state. Now, this weekend, obviously, Georgia State should be one of your priorities as well. But I say Atlanta United is the top ticket. The Gladiators are second. Georgia State or Kennesaw have got to be three. Because they're always fun. It's always fun to come out. It's always great to be at these games, to be able to do these, to be a part of these experiences. I'll get in some NHL news as we finish up. I want to tell you guys the upcoming schedule for our Hurricanes. They're actually playing right now. I think. Yeah, they're playing. They're in the third period, actually, against Toronto. The game is on. It's on in the background here. I cannot see what is going on exactly, but we will recap that next week. This Friday, they will be at home versus the Florida Everblades. Not the Florida Everblades. Florida Panthers. I don't know. It'll be the Everblades. They're better than the Panthers. But it's Florida Panthers. 7:30 puck drop on that one. Then they go to Long Island to take on the New York Islanders. 7 p.m. puck drop on Saturday. And we will do board check on Mondays starting this coming up Monday, so we will get into those as well. Upcoming Gladiator schedule. Of course, they play tomorrow night? Or no, they're playing right now. Yeah. They're playing right now against the Greenville Swamp Rabbits at the Infinite Energy Center in Duluth. I have not seen a score on that as well. They will play two nights from now. Of course, that will be Friday against the South Carolina Stingrays at the Infinite Energy Center. I will be there as well. And then the following Friday, they will be at home once again at the Infinite Energy Center for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits in town there. A bunch of other games coming up. You can, of course, go to either NHL.com and check out Hurricanes news and notes and schedules. You can also go to AtlantaGladiators.com or download their app or the NHL app for information for that. Now, like I said, there's a couple things I want to talk about with the NHL, and then we will be done with our big super show. The Oilers fired their head coach, Todd McClellan, and immediately hired Ken Hitchcock because apparently he is the stopgap, the be-all, end-all, fix-all, whatever. Ken Hitchcock is a legend. I didn't think McClellan was doing all that bad, but I guess the Oilers had to have somebody fall on the sword, so why not the head coach, right? Fire a really great head coach because, gosh, making the playoffs when you're supposedly trying to rebuild is just apparently a bad thing. God, I feel bad for Connor McDavid that he has to be up there for this. Ken Hitchcock's going to do, I don't know, give you a change of pace. We'll have to see what happens from there. Not to be outdone, the St. Louis Blues and my least favorite owners, who I'm probably not getting invited to Buffalo anytime soon. Or no, they're Buffalo. They're not the Blues. I don't have a problem with their owners. But the St. Louis Blues decided to fire Mike Yao and have named Craig Berube as the interim coach. Blues need to shake it up. They needed to do something. I don't know that it was Mike's fault, just like it wasn't Todd's, but sometimes you got to shake it up to do things, and that's what they did there. The weird thing about the New York Rangers, and we all know I follow the Rangers. They're the team that got me into hockey, so I always have a little soft spot for them. They're rebuilding right now, but they're winning, and they're winning big. They're winning 5-0 and 3-1 different places there. But to be rebuilding and winning, I mean, they're giving Ranger fans a lot of hope that maybe, just maybe, before Hank King Henry gets out of net for the final time, hopefully he plays a lot longer, but I mean, who knows how long he's going to play. Maybe they can get a chance at a cup because he deserves it. But lastly, and I wanted to end on this, Eddie Olczyk got to take the ice for the Hockey Fights Cancer big weekend they had. He suited up in Blackhawks gear for one last time. You know, he battled cancer, still battling cancer a little bit. But to see Eddie O back in the red and black It just it brings back some great memories. Not only was he a great player, he's just an exceptional human being. And just so glad he was able to do that, get back on some skates and suit up again and show people that you can fight, you can overcome, and that it's going to take a lot more than that to take down somebody like Eddie Up. That's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for tuning in to our special Thanksgiving episode. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Make sure to eat plenty of good food. Make sure to hug people that you care about. You know, hug people you don't. That's fine, too. Shout out to John Nelson from Soccer Down Here, who joined us earlier. We talked all kinds of amazing things. But that's going to do it for us. As I said, thanks to Cody Elias. Thanks to John Watts, Jake Skinner, Joseph Sparty. Thanks to all our friends and family. Thanks to Coach Hill. Thanks to Reggie. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go Falcons. Go United. Go Gladiators. Go Watch Hockey.
Shaking they boobies like Congo, man. I'm shaking the city like Quake. I hate it blue in the face like John Joker. I'm breaking the cake, so let's bake. I'm taking the game's mine. Y'all witness the change, it's my time. Yeah, I'm new to the game, but y'all might wanna say you whack rap, stay like save the time. I can dance, homie, I don't choose, yeah. Y'all looking at something like a true player. A girl told me that a man that can dance might could possibly get down with the tool in his pants. Now I'm a lady, let me see it vibrate. And when it's over, you ain't gonna need your bird. Now I'm a pro, make you bend your back low, then the pound it real fast, just like the percolator.
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. 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 Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble,
yeah.
And I'ma gobble it.
Yeah.
I see you moving your head, go ahead, bobble it.
Yeah.
We can cradle the bed, I'm straight racking it. The girls say, man, like this, double racket shit. Damn, I'm so explicit, but I can't help it, my flow ridiculous. Boy, got a gift like it gotta be Christmas. Swag on this like it gotta be gifted.
Yeah.
The girls broke cameras, and they won't fix it, and they gon' frame them. See that? Let a little bit while I'm saying my scriptures. Cause I leave you holy like you pray in the temple. One beat, I move with the letter of a pencil. And mine won't miss you, good night kiss you. Take a damn back, cause you got pistols. And now I'm saying Donnie pick her up, these issues.
Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble,
yeah.
Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble,
yeah.
Yeah.
baby wobble, baby wobble.
Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah. Get it now, yeah, yeah.
Hey, big girl, make her bag it up.
Yeah.
Make her bag it up. Hey, big girl, make her bag it up.
Yeah.
Make her bag it up. Hey, big girl, make her bag it up.
Yeah.
Make her bag it up. Hey, big girl, make her bag it up.
Yeah.
Make her bag it up. Bag it up. Bag it up. Bag it up.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?